Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune, and before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
I guess we will start with last week, and that's an old-fashioned football game in the rain, kind of a bloodbath in the trenches, and you guys found a way to get it done, so just how did that one feel?
It was cool. I think that it's important that we're creating memories for a lifetime for these kids. And I think that because of the environment and the situation, I think that's a game that the kids will remember for a long, long time and tell their kids about and talk about the game in the rain, because that was a downpour. That was a big-time rain.
So you chose to defer after winning the coin flip, something you haven't done much this season. And did that have anything to do with kind of the known factor of the weather? You kind of knew the weather was going to be it was going to be clear during that middle 8 minutes, or what was the thought process behind that?
There were a couple of thought processes. One is, and they were both based upon analytics, and the number that the team that if you win the toss and defer, you win over 50% of your games. Well, I want to win over 50% of our games. So that was a factor. Our kicker, their kicker was a factor. The wind was a factor, because before it started raining, the wind was palpable. And then you're right. We also have a pretty strong focus on the middle eight. And to give us a chance to win the middle eight, we thought that we needed to defer. So it was all of those reasons, and all of them analytically based.
So now you get another shot at Hannibal. So just what's the first thought that comes to your mind when you know you get that rematch with them?
We're just excited to be in the game. I've said the same thing all season long, that the people we play, we hope to treat them as nameless, faceless opponents. That, you know, if you're going to be in a district championship game, you got to play someone. So we just know that at this stage in the game, with as many teams in the state whose seasons are over, that if you're playing in a district title game, you're going to be playing somebody good. To be honest with you, maybe it's good in the sense that we know the way up there. We know where our locker room's going to be. We know what the walk is like from the locker room. We know how tough the environment is. So, you know, maybe in the last 2 years, we will have played up there almost as many times as we had home games here this year. So
just what do you think a district title would mean for this program, just in the recent history of it compared to the distant history of being a Jays football player?
I don't know. We're just focused on this group and trying to maximize our experiences. We want to be champions, but everybody practices. And I, without a shadow of a doubt, I can absolutely commit to we've done some work. I haven't been home before 9:30 since we played Kirksville. And that's okay, because these kids deserve that type of commitment and that effort. This community and this school deserves the same thing. So we are absolutely going to try to get it done. And we look forward to the opportunity.
Alrighty, thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And you know, after a long, long season and a feels like kind of long districts at sometimes, we've arrived right at where we thought we were going to. It's going to be number one seed Hannibal versus number two seed Jefferson City in Class 4, District 5. But before we talk about that matchup, let's look a little bit back to last week. So the Jays end up playing third seed at Kirksville, and I think not just me, but I think a fair amount of people were surprised by just the fact that this was a game for a little while. I mean, the Jays end up winning 43-21. Final score looks a little deceiving from a standpoint of, for a while there, we had a battle on our hands.
Yeah, it was 19-14 at halftime. It was a dry first half, obviously. It was pretty much a monsoon in the second half. But the first half was actually a really good football game. It was clean football from both sides, but it took a while for the Jays offense to really get moving, and I think the rain, honestly, kind of helped with that.
Okay.
But the Jays defense really stepped up there in the second half, and towards the end of the first half, the only points they allowed in the second half was a 15-yard touchdown drive after a fumble. So take that with a grain of salt. But they had 4 3-and-outs again. That's something we hadn't really seen for a majority of the season. Then we saw it against Moberly, and it was, well, is that a product of playing Moberly, or is that something that they could build off of? And they did build off of it. Kirksville isn't by means a great team, but
right.
I mean, they're a solid football team. They have some talent. They were a big team, so seeing the Jays defense play well again was definitely promising. And then, yeah, in the second half, it seemed like the harder it rained, the better Jeff City played, just because
right.
that's kind of the brand of football they're built to play.
Sure.
Just that battle in the trenches, and the offensive line really dominated down the stretch. It was pretty fun to watch.
So, you know, long story short, it's a win you expect to get. You maybe get pushed a little more than you want to, but the good thing is you respond and you end up getting the win. That's what you want to do. So then you look at it and you reset and you go, okay, Jays are now 6-4, heading to the district title game, 7 o'clock tonight against Hannibal. We've kind of had a feeling all year long it might be these two teams by the end of the season. It ends up being these two teams at the end of the season. And I think the only kind of thing that was kind of maybe lurking in the background as we kind of entered the postseason was, obviously Hannibal's been very good this year. They're 8-2, haven't lost since, I think, week 4. So you look at them and go, okay, yeah, they're very good. We knew they were very good. But they lost Aeneas Williams, their, exceptional running back, in the regular season finale. And everybody went, oh, hey, maybe that means some things are, going to be troublesome for them. Well, in kind of the first full game they've played without him was, last week. They beat Warrington 62-7. So you look at it and go, okay, maybe not to say that he's not great, but maybe that's to say, hey, guess what? Hannibal's got some other pieces, and that might also be why they're very good this year.
Yeah, I mean, they are a dangerous team with or without Aeneas. Obviously, you're not going to be better without Aeneas.
Sure.
That's a 4-star recruit. He's extremely talented.
Right.
I saw it firsthand. Great player.
Right.
It just puts the pressure on different players, and it's a lot of younger players. Filling into the number one running back role has been Markell Humphrey. That's who kind of was the number two back all season behind Aeneas, and he went over 100 yards against Jeff City the first time, even with Aeneas scoring 8 touchdowns and having almost 330 yards. So he's a good player. They know that. And then Mike Ferreira, don't blame me on the pronunciation there. Not 100% on that, but he's the one that kind of filled in. He's stepped into that backfield now. He led them in yards last week. I think he broke 100. So that's just another piece that they've added to that. That's a sophomore. And then a lot of the pressure has to fall on their sophomore quarterback, Waylon Andrews. And they've talked, Coach Wells talked about how he's improved a lot just watching film throughout the season.
Okay.
And that's kind of to be expected with the sophomore quarterback. There's going to be the lumps that you kind of have to battle through with a young quarterback. But it seems like he's playing his best football. And, I mean, they're going to need him if they're going to make a deep run or win this game in particular, because he's going to have a lot of pressure on him, and I think they're going to try and have him beat them if they're going to lose.
So basically, I think what this game boils down to, both for myself and for a lot of other people, is you look at it and go, okay, Hannibal won 53-28 in week 2. What's different this time around?
I mean, the biggest difference is obviously Aeneas being out, but
sure.
I mean, the game plan has to be somewhat similar. They made a big emphasis in trying to make Waylon beat them, the quarterback Waylon Andrews beat them in week 2. It didn't really work out because they weren't tackling Aeneas very well.
Okay.
To be expected when he has 330 yards and 8 touchdowns. But, I mean, the game plan has to be about the same. You're going to want to stop the run. You're going to want to get them in third and long situations and try and make that quarterback beat them, because that's not their MO. That's not what they're built on. They are capable, don't get me wrong. And they've done it down the stretch of the season for sure. But the game plan stays about the same. It just is a little bit easier to actually, be successful in that game
right.
plan when you don't have a 4-star recruit to tackle.
And then on the flip side too, I mean, obviously the big thing is you got to slow down that Hannibal offense. But I do feel like if we've seen anything, maybe make strides for the Jays this year from start to finish. You know, we talked earlier about how that defense needed to be able to tackle better, and I think they have done that. But I also feel like we just needed more consistency out of that offense, and I think that's maybe the biggest area of growth, I think, for this team as years gone on. This is the fact that I feel like they've gotten better. I mean, as someone who's seen them every game, is that indeed the case?
Yeah, and it's really the consistency, like you mentioned, early on they were relying on big plays, and most of it came in the running game. So if they weren't getting those 20, 30, 40-yard runs somewhere throughout a quarter or throughout a half, it seemed like the offense went a little bit stagnant. But towards the end of the season, they've gotten a lot better at methodically being able to move the ball down the field, being okay with taking 3-4 yards at a time,
right,
and just staying ahead of the chains. And a lot of it has to do with the pre-snap penalties that were an issue early in the season, because it's no secret that this Jays offense is not built to convert 3rd and 15s. And so the penalties were kind of an issue again last week. I don't know why that all of a sudden surfaced again, but it makes it so much easier on the Jays offense if they eliminate the pre-snap penalties and are okay with the running backs getting tackled for a 3 or 4 yard gain and just trusting that you can do that over and over again and trust your big and talented offensive line.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been more consistent down the stretch of the season. The schedule also lightened up a little bit. That always helps. But yeah, just consistency, like you mentioned, has to be the key for this Jays offense.
And I think if they can do that, that's going to go a long way towards slowing down this Hannibal offense. Just, again, it's almost going to be, you're almost going to have to play keep away, because if you go back and you look at their ledger, it's pretty amazing. The least number of points they've scored all year long is 21 in week one in that loss to Helias. Every other game, it's been in the 40s and the 50s, with the exception of, you know, 27 in that win against Battle when they lost Aeneas Williams. So even when they lost him in a game where I'm sure that probably took a toll on the team, they still managed to score 27. So, you know, you just look at the ledger, it's filled with 40s and, you know, in 62 last week. So, again, I think it's going to have to be a combination of, you don't just slow that team down by going, our defense is going to play great, we're going to keep them, we're going to keep them in the 20s. Well, you're going to have your offense keeping the ball away and keeping, and so while we, yes, like I say, the Jays team did depend on big plays early in the year, I almost think they'd wish that they didn't have too many big plays from the standpoint of, let's play keep away. We're fine getting 5, 6, 7 yard gains. Let's just kind of keep the ball, keep it moving positively, and then just keep it away from them, because I just feel like this is going to be where you're going to, a game where you're going to have to match people score for score to have any chance of winning this.
Yeah, definitely. If the Jays are going to win this game, it's more than likely going to be a shootout, because Hannibal's going to get their points, like you just mentioned. And I think kind of the not talked about enough point of this game is Aeneas brings to the defense at safety. He's a very talented, hard-hitting safety, and athletically can get in so many different positions to make plays just because of how good of an athlete he is. And the guy that filled in for him last week, Aaron Daughtry, of course, just comes out and picks off 3 passes and ties the school record.
Sure.
So, takes one back for a touchdown. So that's another sophomore. That's another young player that the Pirates are leaning on. But, yeah, I mean, your best defense is going to have to be your offense. Having 6, 7-minute drives is going to be huge, because especially with the young quarterback on the other side, keeping him on the sideline and keeping him thinking about what's going to happen on the next series only makes things more difficult. And especially with having two-way players, like both of these teams used a lot of two-way players, you wear them out on the side where they can't hurt you as bad. When they don't have the football, obviously, it makes it that much easier to stop them on offense. So, yeah, it can frustrate them, keep them off the field, and then maybe you could force in a couple turnovers, or maybe force in a 3-and-out or anything, can flip the momentum and flip the game.
And while I think we won't have a weather impact like we had last week with your near monsoon that you had to sit through and and forced you finally to retreat from the sidelines and go inside to a press box, I do think that it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to be, this kind of maybe the first real cold weather game we're going to have of the season, where, you know, we've had some unseasonably warm weather through the, you know, just the fall season. And I feel like this is going to feel like postseason football. So I feel like, you know, while I don't think it's going to be a factor, it is just going to be one of those things where this is going to have a different feel than I think any of the previous couple weeks have had, from the standpoint of, this is going to feel different than running out there when it's 70 degrees and, you know, real, real calm and real nice. This game might be a little bit blustery, might be a little bit cold, and we'll just see how, you know, how that might affect some things.
Yeah, definitely. And what the Jays have been saying all year is you have to work when it's hot to play when it's cold.
Sure.
That's kind of been their motto, and so they've now officially made it to the point in the season where they want to be. They're finally playing cold weather football, and I asked Coach about that. Like, do you think that helps you guys, your guys' brand of football? Because obviously the rain helped him a little bit last week, but they don't see it as a big difference. He did mention that they have a lot of big guys that, you know, sweat when they're walking upstairs, so they'd much rather it be cold. But, yeah, I don't think it brings a whole lot of aspect to the actual football game, but it's definitely nice to finally have a cold weather football game. It makes like you said, it definitely makes it feel like postseason football.
So while we've talked on the injury front for one team, we haven't talked about for the Jays. How are things looking for them injury-wise heading into this one?
Looking good. It's honestly been a little bit of an anomaly how healthy they've stayed all year, outside of just a few ailing injuries. But, yeah, I mean, everybody should be good to go tonight.
All right. I'll just ask you flat out, do the Jays get a measure of revenge tonight or not?
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a close game, but I have to roll with Hannibal. They have the postseason pedigree, and they kind of have the Jays' number the last couple of years. So I'll pick it to be a close one, and we'll go 35-28 Hannibal.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.